You should have the 101 book there in your seat. We'll be using that for both services today, so make sure you handle it today. We're starting out with the chorus book, however, number 87. Chorus book, number 87.
Thank you. Sunday, you brought us to 44 years now, and we thank you for it, and we thank you for using this church to reach so many for Christ, and to equip believers to reach others as they've gone abroad and reach people in their respective places that they've gone to. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the work that was started by a man with a vision. And we pray that that vision would continue, and we pray that you would provide for us the next person that would take this on into the future, if that be your will. And we just pray that you would bless this time this morning. We pray that you would be with Brother Hitchens as he heard the word to us. Pray that the songs would be a blessing to you. And everything that we say and do would honor and glorify you and be a blessing to each person here. The food and fellowship afterward will be a good time together as well. We pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. During the morning service, you all can start thinking now. We will be having a hymn today. So that's why all the books are out. So take the time to think about what songs you would like to sing. And do as many as we can in the time that we have available, and we want to make sure that Brother Bob still gets plenty of time to preach, so do that and have a good time. As Jason has already said, this is our 44th anniversary today, and it's a blessing that God has preserved this church for that long. And I've told this before, but it's easy for me to keep track of because I am 6 months older than the church is. So it makes it very simple for me to count how many years the church has been here. It's hard to believe that this coming summer will be 6 years for me that I've been here. So about five and a half now. So it's pretty good. Came in August of 14. So, all right. That's all announcement-wise for now. We'll move on to the 101 book now, and we'll sing the song that gets requested pretty much every time there's a hymn sing. If you want to sing it again later, I suppose we can do that, but it's number 19 in the 101 book.
Oh,
week. So our children's class can be dismissed now. By the way, Dawn, welcome back. Good to see you. John chapter 1. We've been looking at verses 11 and 12. We'll take just a moment if anybody wants to say the first two verses, they certainly can. Dan, go ahead.
I thought we were doing all three today.
You certainly can if you want.
Okay, so that's 1 John 1, 11 to 13. Came on his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
All right, very good. Thank you. Anyone else? Go ahead.
John 1, November the 13th. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
All right, thank you. All right, we'll say it one time together then. John 1, 11 through 13. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. All right. All right, Brother Bob, we'll get you set up and get ready to go here.
So you have one here today on your 44th anniversary of Ray Street Baptist Church. My wife and I celebrated an anniversary yesterday, 56 years. She doesn't look old enough to have been married 56 years, but it's true, we have. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter number 34, if you will. Genesis chapter number 34. We'll pray here in just a minute, but before we do, to bring us up to where we are here in Genesis, Jacob has come back from spending 20 years away from his homeland, working for his father-in-law, Laban. And of course, during that time, he's accumulated two wives and two concubines and 12 sons plus daughters. And a lot of sheep, a lot of cattle. He's become very wealthy during this time. But a problem arose between he and his father-in-law, and it says the way it's worded, his countenance was not towards Jacob as it had been before. And so the Lord appeared to Jacob in a dream and told him to go back to his homeland. And so he did, and he went back. If you remember, he had an encounter with his brother Esau, which he was terrified about meeting him. But the Lord worked that out. You know, they had a good meeting. Everything, you know, worked out for the best. And so now he's back in the land, and he has bought a parcel of land in this area. It's called Shechem. If you look on a map, Shechem is on this plateau that kind of runs north and south. The land of Canaan, you know, of course, has a lot of valleys, and it's rough terrain. And so if you're traveling north and south, you either have to go down along the coast, you know, the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, or up on this plateau. And on that plateau, of course, Hebron is there, you know, in the south. Beersheba is there. Jerusalem is there, Bethlehem, all these cities are on this plateau, you know, where you travel north and south. And so Shechem is to the north. And so Jacob settles there. He buys this parcel of land at Shechem. And by the way, in the New Testament, this area is the same place where the well of Sychar is, where Jesus met the woman, you know, in John chapter 4, which at that time in the New Testament, that whole area is called Samaria at that time. But in the Old Testament, you know, this is a different name. So it's Shechem at that time. And so he buys this parcel of land, and then that brings us up to where we are in chapter number 34. So let's bow for prayer, and then we'll read chapter 34. Lord, thank you for the privilege to be here in the house of God today. Thank you for the 44th anniversary of Race Street Baptist Church. Thank you for all the many blessings that you have sent during these 44 years. Thank you for the great leadership of Pastor Gary, Lord, during all those years. And now as we await your new servant to take the pulpit in this place, Lord, I pray that you would reveal him in your time. It has been almost 3 years now, and Lord, but we know that your timing is perfect, and we know you have someone somewhere, so we just pray you reveal him in your time. I pray now that you would bless everything that's done today. Bless now as we look into your word, and for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful name, for his sake we ask it. Amen. All right, let's begin to read in verse 1 of chapter 34. It says, "And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, Get me this damsel to wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the son, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel, in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. And Hamor communed with them, saying, The soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you, give her him to wife. And make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. And ye shall dwell with us in the land. The land shall be before you. Dwell and trade ye therein, and get ye possession therein. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, Let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me I will give. Give me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according to as ye shall say unto me, but give me the damsel to wife. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully. Make a little mental note of that. Answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully. And they said, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. And they said unto them, We cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that's uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. But in this will we consent unto you, if you will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised, then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if you will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughter, and we will be gone. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son, and the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter. He was more honorable than all the house of his father. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came into the gate of their city and communed with the men of their city, saying, These men are peaceable with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein, for the land, behold, it's large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives. Let us give them our daughters. Only herein will the men consent to us for to dwell with us, to be one people. If every male among us to be circumcised, as they are circumcised, shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son hearkened all that went out of the gate of the city, and every male was circumcised, and all that went out of the gate of his city. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword, and came upon the city boldly, and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword. And they took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they defiled their sister. They took their sheep, their oxen, their asses, and that which was in the city and that which was in the field, and all their wealth and all their little ones, and their wives took them captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "Ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house." And they said, "Should he deal with our sister as with a harlot?" Okay. Jacob and his family has come back to the land. Jacob bought this parcel in Shechem. They've settled there. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 34, Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Now, think about who the daughters of the land are. They're Canaanites, aren't they? These are the people that later on God told the Israelites to drive out. You're not to make marriages. Deuteronomy chapter 7, if you get a chance to read it. Make no marriages with them. You're not to bow down to their idols, not to take their idols to you. You're to have nothing to do with these people. Drive these people out. And Canaanite culture was so wicked. You know, when I had the privilege of going to Israel, we traveled to a lot of archaeological sites. And a lot of sites where there were Canaanite cities, you know, that had been excavated. And usually at these sites, they have a museum there, you know, and they put on display the artifacts, you know, that they've uncovered there. Well, in most of those museums, there is a section of the museum that's not open to the ordinary public because of what's there. Things that they have discovered, things that they have excavated that are so vile and so wicked, they can't put them on display, you know, for the general public. And so they have a special place in the museum. We got to see some of those things, but it just reiterates what the Bible says about that culture. It was a wicked, immoral culture. And so the daughters of the land were not the best companions, were they? You know, did Jacob not know about this? I mean, these are some questions, you know, to ask. Should Jacob have exercised a little more control here with Dinah? You know, don't go out to see the daughters of the land. I think he should have. But anyhow, she went out to see the daughters of the land. Use your imagination now. She's out with the girls. These are probably teenage girls, right? Probably late teens. And they're having a big old time, a giddy old time. And lo and behold, here comes Prince Shechem, this cool guy. At least he thinks he is. And he's impressing the girls. Just use your imagination now. And pretty soon, here's Dinah and Shechem pairing off. Now, it does not say here that he raped her, but rather I think he seduced her, because if you look down at verse 26, she's in his house. In fact, she is in his house the whole time until her brothers come and destroy the city. So that kind of tells me this is somewhat consensual here, but it's still wrong though, isn't it? It says what he did here was wrong. He defiled her, he took her, and seduced her. And so, of course, when her brothers found out about it, and by the way, these Levi and Simeon and Dinah are all children of Leah. In other words, they have the same father and they have the same mother. Now, remember the others, remember Jacob has two wives and two concubines, right? So you've got some that have the same father but different mothers. But these three all have the same mother. And so Simeon and Levi hit the ceiling over this, didn't they? It says they were wroth about this. And so Shechem wants to marry her. And so he appeals to his father, get her to meet to wife. And so his father goes to talk with Jacob, you know, and they discuss all this. And anyhow, down at verse number 13, it says, the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully. What were the, were they planning something right there? Absolutely they were. Yeah. You ever seen that bumper sticker that said, I don't get mad, I just get even? Ever seen that? That's what they're plotting, aren't they? And so they come up with this plan. They say, well, look, you know, if you would be circumcised, all the males be circumcised like we are, then we'll consider this. Okay, and so Hamor and Shechem and the men of the city agree to this. They all agree to it. If you do that, we'll give you our daughters, we'll take your daughters, and we'll trade, and we'll settle with you, and so on. Well, in verse 25, the men of the city did this. And it says, it came to pass on the third day when they were sore. Simeon and Levi took his sword and destroyed all the males, it says. Slew all the males. Slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house. She'd been there the whole time. He took her home. And then it says they spoiled the city, took their sheep, took their oxen, took that was in the city, that was in the field, their wealth, their little ones, their wives. They took all this. And Jacob's response in verse 30, he said, you have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land. When people hear about what you've done, this is going to be bad. You know, this is one of those situations where they made a bad situation worse. And so that brings to mind Romans 12, 17, which says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Recompense to no man evil for evil. And that's what they did, didn't they? Now, let me just elaborate on some things about recompensing evil for evil. What happens when we do that? Well, we give way to the flesh when we do that, don't we? The flesh wants to get even, doesn't it? Don't look so spiritual now. The flesh wants to get even. By the way, we've all got it. We've all got the flesh, and doesn't make any difference how long we've been saved. It's there. That old nature is there. And when somebody does you wrong, guess what you want to do? You want to get them back, don't you? I mentioned this before, but one of my little pet peeves, I guess, is when I'm out on the interstate and I'm coming up to an exit and somebody passes me and they have to get past me and then they turn off on that exit. They cannot wait that split second to get there. Well, I've never done this, but you know what I want to do when that happens? I want to speed up so they can't get their exit. Now, you're not like me. You're probably more spiritual than I am. I've never done that, and I wouldn't do it, but guess what? That's what I want to do. It irks me. That's the flesh, isn't it? Have you ever been sitting at a light, and the light changes, and no sooner does the light change, I mean that split second, and they lay on the horn behind you. Well, look, our old flesh is very much alive, isn't it? And when somebody does something like that, you know, we want to get back at them. But that's not what we're supposed to do. In another place, God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. There's that tendency to give in to the flesh, isn't it? I don't know if I've told this up here before or not. I think maybe I have. About a Baptist deacon in Rhode Island. I don't know if I told this before or not. I saw this on a documentary. It was a documentary about road rage. And this Baptist deacon in Rhode Island got out of church on a Sunday morning. He and his wife were going to dinner. Got out on the interstate, and there was this van that was tailgating somebody. And this deacon got on the tail of that van and tailgated them. And got down the road a little ways. I guess he was right on their tail. They got down the road a little ways. This van pulls off on the side of the road. And guess what the deacon does? He pulls off on the side of the road. There was some distance between them. Two guys jumped out of the van, started to walk back towards his car where the deacon was. In the back seat, he had a crossbow. He got out with his crossbow, and these guys were coming toward him. He shot one of them, killed him. Guy died right there on the side of the road. So this deacon is in jail for murder. It all started when he got behind that van and he couldn't let it go. Should have, shouldn't he? But he didn't. And then he certainly shouldn't have pulled off on the side of the road. I mean, you can see where all this could have been stopped at different points. Certainly shouldn't have pulled off on the side of the road like he did. And he certainly shouldn't have grabbed that crossbow. But here he is, that's a true story, sitting in jail for murder now. It escalated, and that's, well, you don't know what can happen, do you? You know, out there on the interstate, you don't know who's got a gun in the car and who might just shoot at you if you do something that upsets them, because it does happen, doesn't it? Well, when we recompense evil for evil, we give into the flesh. A second thing we do, we think we know better than God does. He says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And if we think we know better than God does, we're kidding ourselves. He knows best, and he can handle it, can't he? Put it in his hands, let go of it, let him handle it. We fall into the devil's trap also when we do this. This is the devil's trap. And by the way, he knows our human nature, doesn't he? He knows what buttons to push. Now, I'm glad he doesn't know what we think, you know, I think we probably talked about this before, but the book of Job, I think, tells me that the devil doesn't know what we think. And the reason I know that is because, you know, he falsely accused Job, didn't he? He said to God, if you take away all these blessings, he'll curse you to your face. Job didn't do that, did he? Satan presumed what Job would do because that's probably what a lot of folks would do. But he was wrong about Job, wasn't he? In fact, he was wrong about Job all the time. So that tells me he didn't know what Job was thinking. Now, the devil does know a lot about us, though, because he watches us, doesn't he? And if you watch somebody long enough, you'll find out a lot about them, won't you? And he knows what buttons to push that gets to us. And if we render evil for evil, we fall into this trap. I mean, that's what Simeon and Levi did here. I mean, they were angry because of what Shechem had done to their sister, and rightfully so. It was wrong. It was a terrible thing that he did. And they were wroth about it, it says. But they made the situation worse, didn't they? By their actions. So, when we recompense evil for evil, we fall into the devil's trap. Another thing we do, we reduce ourselves to the level of the unsaved man. You can expect the unsaved man to do this, can't you? Yes, you can. But that's not what Christians are supposed to do. We're supposed to be living above the level of the unsaved man, aren't we? You can look, you can expect sinners to sin. Sinners are going to sin, aren't they? As Christians, God expects more out of us. And look, these things are going to happen. I guarantee you, things are going to happen that are going to make us mad. Somebody will do us wrong. If I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many have ever had somebody do you wrong? Don't raise your hand, but just think. If that hasn't happened yet, guess what? It's going to. Somebody, look, somewhere along the line, somebody will do us wrong, won't they? And nobody likes that. But how we respond to that is so important, isn't it? And we're not to respond the way these fellows did here. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Whenever we do this, we take from God that which is rightfully His. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. This is God's territory. Let Him take care of it. We make a bad situation worse. You know, we like to deal with things ourselves, don't we? We like to take care of it. But usually we make a mess out of it, if we do. And so how much better to just put it in His hands? We ruin our testimony. Our testimony is one of the most valuable things that we have as a Christian, isn't it? And you can lose it right fast. Yeah, you can. I heard this preacher tell the story that had a fellow in his church. He was a member of the church, faithful in church. He was a businessman. And this preacher said, I went to see him, walked into his business on a Monday, and he said, I heard all this cursing and vile language. And it was this guy, his church member. And you know what this fellow told the preacher? He said, it's Monday. That was his answer. Well, look, you lose your testimony right fast with something like that, don't you? And once you lose it, it's hard to get it back. We bring shame on the cause of Christ. Jacob said, are you going to make me the stink amongst these people? Because of the... He had to leave this area. He had to get away from there. It was such a bad situation. We give the enemies of the Lord a chance to blaspheme when we do that. Remember Samson? Samson ends up grinding in the mill, and the Philistines trotted him out and had him make sport. Everybody got a big laugh, you know. Here's Samson. And the world loves to make fun of a disgraced preacher. Or a Christian, you know, that's lost their testimony. And they gives the enemy of his Lord a chance to blaspheme, doesn't it? And then it may keep people from coming to the Lord, too. I know you've talked to folks, and in your witnessing to them, they've said, well, I know old so-and-so. He claims to be a Christian. And they tell you all the stuff about him. Somebody who's a hypocrite or they're backslid, you know. And whenever somebody tells me that, I always like to say, well, do you know anybody that's genuine? They usually do. But that's not the person they bring up. They bring up some old hypocrite, you know. But the world's watching us. They are watching us like a hawk. And so render recompense to no man evil for evil. I know that's a tendency of human nature. That somebody does us wrong and we want to get even. But that's not what we're supposed to do, is it? Scripturally. Anybody have any comments or questions before we stop here? Very practical thing. And it's something that we deal with. It doesn't make any difference how long we've been saved. I mean, we have these things that crop up. And like I said, somebody's going to do us wrong somewhere along the line. It's how we deal with that, isn't it? Comments or questions before we stop? A hand somewhere? All right. Somebody have comment? Yeah, Sam. Go ahead.
And is not the fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's bow for prayer as we stop here today. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who takes it and applies it to our hearts today. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege again that we had to be in the house of God. I pray that you would bless as we go in the morning service. I pray that you'd bless the songs, special music, and then, Lord, the preaching of your word, and then the fellowship time later on this afternoon. We just commit all this time now to your faithful hands. In Jesus' wonderful name, for his sake, we ask it. Amen.